This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Wednesday, October 9th. Well, wheat markets yesterday finally caught a bid as we were strongly higher throughout the complex, at least closing that way. We started out a little bit weaker, actually, on the night session. We ended the day session with an outside day higher pretty much across the board. So that was encouraging. It was somewhat led by corn and soybeans tagging along, but Chicago was the leader higher across the complex. So it gained a couple cents against Kansas City. Chicago is being led higher by a strong cash basis in the Southern Plains and at the Gulf. So that is supporting the futures market there as well. And just generally speaking, the wheat complex, looking at world prices, moving higher again as Egypt bought 295,000 tons of wheat. They took 120 from Ukraine at 222 per ton. They took 175,000 from Russia at $220 to $222 per ton. Now that is up about $1 to $3 over last week on a delivered basis. On a FOB basis, that's up about $5. So obviously we see some drop in transportation costs. But what's showing is that the previous week, FOB offers out of the Black Sea were up about $3 a ton. This week they're up another $5. So that's a pretty healthy jump in cash prices from a world perspective. It does translate into some support here for U.S. futures. But as soft red goes, we're still way overpriced on a world basis. Hard red winter wheat, obviously not competitive into those key Egyptian markets, but it's at least we're a little bit more competitive from a hard red basis. Now, Argentina is looking at some rains coming through as they try to wrap up their filling stage, so that could help pump up some yields just a bit in Argentina. Pretty soon, though, we're going to be in full swing harvest across most of that country, and it's expected that they'll be fairly aggressive with their exports. In Australia, we're looking at another year of poor production there. Shouldn't be too much competition from them, and indeed could help support the wheat complex as their soft white wheat markets into the Southeast Asian market become a prime target for U.S. soft red. And again, we're still way overpriced, but it does help improve our prospects there. But the real major driver of price action yesterday, not just in wheat, but in corn and beans as well, was the forecast for another storm to move through the northern plains and into the northern Midwest and stretch down actually into the southern plains as well as far as temperatures go. Blizzard conditions across north central into northeast North Dakota are going to obviously delay harvest there for what remains of spring wheat, but also effectively end the growing season for sunflowers, corn, whatever's still in the field. And the concern about the cold temperatures stretching down into the northern Midwest and ending the growing season for as much as 3 million acres of corn and soybeans are starting to really cause some concerns in the marketplace. So you don't know if it's going to be 5% or 15% of yield losses because of the end of the growing season. We don't know what the quality is going to be. So we're still stuck waiting until you actually get the combines in the field and the results of harvest before you get a better idea of what corn and soybean yields will be. For wheat, the market is kind of pegging in losing about 1 million acres of spring wheat just because they just can't get it out of the field. If they do, it's not certainly going to be milling grade. For winter wheat across the northern plains, the market's expecting around 1.2 million acres that will not get planted because of the weather. So it's notable. Obviously not offering a lot of support to the Kansas City market, but it comes back to these spreads that have become so distorted over this last year, where Chicago is into a new contract high against Kansas City. You know, at 90 cents it touched yesterday. That's a pretty remarkable number for Kansas City to be discount to Chicago. But as we look into the next crop year, noting a drop in planted acres across the northern plains because of weather, a likely drop in planted acres in the southern and central plains because of price, that the stage could be being set for a much different fundamental scenario as we get into the next crop year. Now, for now, it's just anecdotal evidence that we're we're coming to these conclusions, and it won't be until January before you get a, you know, the winter wheat plantings report. So that's a long way away for the market to be, you know, responding to these reports. But I think it's just worth noting that this kind of relationship is at a record low with KC to Chicago, and at some point that's going to correct. If nothing else, it should be minimum at even money, if not, you know, 50 cents to a dollar higher with KC over Chicago. So there's a huge opportunity there in the new crops 2020-2021 to position for that eventually to come back into more normal alignment. For spring wheat, the problem with that is with Minneapolis, you know, you've had a rally in response to the weather, but there is plenty of milling grade wheat around the world. Russia just increased their wheat production estimates by about 3 million tons, largely because of a much better than forecast spring wheat crop. So you just have that kind of overall wet blanket around the world of plenty of wheat, plenty of milling grade wheat, and it's just not in a fundamental structure where the Minneapolis market could really take off because of this, the losses in production, because can't get it out of the field. And on top of that, of course, we had a huge spring wheat crop to begin with, that most of which got cut and in the bin before the rains came. So that's the other kicker here, that you're not losing a huge percentage of what was produced. And again, you started out with a big number anyway. So I look for wheat, kind of tag along here. Of course, we have a crop report tomorrow, the supply-demand report. USDA will try to make some adjustments to corn and soybeans, and of course, taking into account the quarterly stocks report and the small grain summary. But we have a pretty good idea of what, you know, the small grain production outlook is. It's a question of, are they going to maintain the pretty lofty export expectations, or are they going to ratchet that down a bit? Our performance has been a little lackluster over the last few weeks. And what are they going to do with corn and soybean numbers? And those really are just up in the air. Even if they did make adjustments, the market's going to take it with a grain of salt because there's so many other weather issues going on. So we're still stuck in this pattern of waiting for harvest, waiting for results. And, you know, the market certainly has a firm tone to it. All the grain complex and oil seeds, soybeans, corn, wheat, certainly have an upward trending trajectory. For wheat, normally into the last half of October, you look for seasonal highs. So we're quickly approaching that time window. And again, considering the overall world production numbers and the world ending stocks being at record highs, it's unlikely that U.S. wheat will be able to carry the load much beyond that, unless you just get a disaster showing up in the corn space. And that market doesn't seem to be thinking that's the case. I mean, corn is firm, but it's not in any kind of a panic situation. It is worth noting that corn has filled this gap from early August. It's up against some previous swing lows, and the question is, can it take those out? From a technical perspective, you are up into some resistance levels in corn, and we'll see if we can see what the market will do with that. In wheat, we're not at any notable resistance levels. Chicago just took out the late September swing high. KC and Minneapolis have yet to really even get close to that high, so there's still some room to move to the upside in the wheat space. So if you have any questions, feel free to call at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.